committed a cardinal error, though. You didn't call on your son. That's a real faux pas for song leaders. Ecclesiastes chapter 10 is where we will be. Ecclesiastes chapter 10. Tonight the title would be Preserving Your Testimony. Preserving Your Testimony. Subtitle would be called Flies in the Ointment. Ecclesiastes, as we know, oh, by the way, it's Psalm, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. Okay. Means preacher. It actually, when it was translated from the Hebrew word in the Septuagint to Greek, the word was Ecclesiastes, coming from ekklesia, meaning assembly, and that's what we work off of. We use the Greek translation Ecclesiastes, meaning preacher. The author was Solomon, probably written towards the end of Solomon's career, you might say, about 945 B.C. In Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 1. Well, I guess I should get there. Dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savor. So doth a little folly him that is in reputation for wisdom and honor. A little complicated story. We're going to go through the whole chapter. But we're going to kind of build a parable here from this verse. In the Bible lands, ointment was a necessary luxury. You needed it to anoint your hair, your face, your skin, anything exposed in the desert lands. Now, we have it referred to in 2 Samuel with David anointing himself with oil before he went out. But this was just part of good hygiene and grooming. The ointment was made by an apothecary, okay, a chemist, maybe called a perfumer. We would have probably gone to CVS, okay, to get this ointment. He usually created the lotion by skillfully mixing spices and different scents into an olive oil base. This luscious odor, as he put this together from this open container of ointment, usually attract pesky flies. The unwitting flies would become entrapped in the miry substance of the olive oil. Not only did they corrupt this ointment, but their decaying bodies caused the ointment to spoil and to stink. The parable here would be that the apothecary would be the Lord. The olive oil would be the Holy Spirit. The spice, the scent, would be, well, the spice would be the Christian's life. The sweet-smelling aroma that comes up would be our testimony produced by the Holy Spirit's work within us. And then, of course, the flies would be the sins in the believer's life that will spoil our testimony. Philippians 4:18 says, "But I have all and abound and am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you." And then Paul states, "An odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God." An odor or aroma of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. I believe we all want our lives to be a sweet-smelling aroma to our Lord and Savior and to those around, that we are attracting people to God and not driving them away. So we're going to go through this with that type of parable that we've established, this idea of the flies that are sins in our life that will spoil our testimony, okay? So that people sometimes, as I remember talking to one person one time, they had dealt with this particular businessman, and I said, "Did you know he's a Christian?" And they said, "Oh, really?" That's probably not how we want people to react that have been dealing with us for a period of time, that they're surprised that we're a Christian. So, flies in the ointment, how to preserve our testimony from corruption. I'll tell you a story first about flies. I used to take care of Scotch Highlander cattle. That was a long time ago. Every spring we would have calves. This particular spring we had two calves that were going to be coming soon. We didn't know really. Scotch Highlander wild cattle. And I always kept an eye on the cows to see if they'd calved the night before. And we were concerned because there's a kind of a trade-off. If the calves calve sometime early April, the cows calve sometime early April, you're scared of the cold that might kill the calf. But if they calve early May, you're afraid of the warm and the flies. Okay? Say flies, what do they have to do with calves? Well, I'll tell you. So we had late calves that spring. And I kept an eye on them. And one day I saw one of them. You can't get that close. Remember, you're talking about a mother with horns that go out like this. And I noticed there was a big spot on her back, which meant probably some manure had gotten there, and now there were probably flies there. So I grained them that afternoon, and I had my son, Brandon, who was about 10 at the time, come with me. And I had gotten some ointment from the apothecary, from the veterinarian, and got the cow into the little corral. Of course, the calf always goes with the mother. And noticed there was a big spot, open flesh on the calf's back, and just swarming the flies. So I meant, oh boy, I've got to now get that ointment, clean that spot, and get the ointment on that back without the mother killing me. So I gave a broom to Brandon, just a regular broom, okay? I had a hose because I had to wash it down. Mother's eating grain, the baby's right there, so I finally threw a rope around the calf. She starts bawling. I got the calf between my legs. I'd asked Brandon to hose it down while I was holding the calf, and I was scrubbing out this wound. Of course, the mother now is approaching us. So I gave Brandon the broom and said, get that mother away from us. He looks at the broom, looks at that cow who's pawing the ground, has horns that must go about that wide. Okay, little 10-year-old boy holds that broom up. But he kept her at bay, so to speak. And I've got the cow between my legs, and I'm scrubbing this, hosing it down, scrubbing it. Of course, she thinks she's going to die. And then I took the ointment, put it all in there, and let the calf go. Unfortunately, the next morning I found the calf dead in the field. The flies had already gotten to it. They had put their toxins as they laid their eggs in that spot, and the little calf couldn't handle it. So the damage the power of flies. So many times we don't think it's that big a deal. And that's what happens in our life as little sins get in there and kind of take up residence and pretty soon cause our testimony to not be sweet-smelling aroma to our Lord. Okay, let's go. We're going to go through a list that's here in Ecclesiastes 10 of some things that would affect our testimony. First one is uncontrolled emotions. In verse 2, we find a wise man's heart is at his right hand, but a fool's heart is at his left. Heart here is the center of emotions. The right hand speaks of power or control. The lesson here is that a person cannot control his or her emotions and has a poor testimony. Emotions should not control the person. The person, with the Lord's help, control their emotions. Now, I know I've been to more than one sporting event. I've actually had to ref a few and I had to coach a few. And I've probably been known to get a little vocal. My wife would probably say a hearty amen to that. And Jay would too. But we have to be really careful. I can remember years ago when I was reffing a soccer game down at Adams Field, and at halftime, we used a switch. Mr. Allen and I were reffing that soccer game. We were playing our boys were playing a team from here in New England. And at halftime, we got together at the center of the field, Mr. Allen and I, and he said, "Kevin, you better watch that guy over there. He's been ragging me the whole game. I haven't given him a warning yet, but might have to." Okay. So I worked that side of the field, second half. And this guy kind of worked up and down the field, hollering at the other team players, hollering at me, just ragging the whole game. After the game, I didn't really know who the guy was, by the way. After the game, I found out who he was. He was the pastor of the church from the school was from. So I went up to him afterwards and said, "Sir, I'm Kevin Moody. Your testimony was terrible in this game." I said, "You know, we've been witnessing to that ref, and he warned me about you at halftime." His wife was right there. She said, "Yeah," I mean, she was kind of like, "I've been telling that forever, you know." But, you know, he never even apologized. He never even sent me a note or a letter apologizing. We have to be very careful about our emotions. Uncontrolled emotions can ruin our testimony. And they're kind of one of those rotten flies, okay, that are in the ointment. Secondly, hypocrisy. Verse 3, "Yea, also when he that is a fool waketh by the way, his wisdom faileth him, and he saith to everyone that he is a fool." Here we have an inconsistency in testimony. The way you act is affected by the company you keep. And many times unsaved people use hypocrites, quote, that they know that go to the church as an excuse. Eric always says his son Enoch is a hypocrite. We all know Enoch to be a sweet, jolly, nice little guy that never makes a fuss at all. But Eric said that's not true. So he calls him sometimes the greatest hypocrite. But we unfortunately do know some hypocrites. And hypocritical Christians have a fly in the ointment. It causes their testimony to stink, actually, to be offensive. And we need to be very careful about hypocrisy as we walk with the Lord. Thirdly, contempt for authority. We jump to verse 4. "If the spirit of the ruler rise up against thee, leave not thy place, for yielding pacifieth great offenses." Sometimes this might be easier understood if we read it from a different version. ESV, "If the ruler's tempter rises against you, do not abandon your position, because composure allays great offenses." Sometimes we need to yield. Literally here means to heal, by submitting to authority. Too many Christians sometimes get a big head. Christians who not properly respect the divinely appointed authorities that have been placed in their life are bad testimonies for the Lord. That could be law officers, could be pastors, elders in the church, teachers, parents. We need to understand where we are placed in the levels of authority and respect them. We are to conscientiously obey the higher powers that we are told to. Romans 13, of course, has a lot to say about that. All right, moving on quickly. The fourth one is a bitter spirit. Verses 8 and 9. "He who digs a pit may fall into it, and a serpent may bite him who breaks through a wall. He who quarries stones may be hurt by them, and he who splits logs may be endangered by them." Say, what in the world does that have to do with anything? Nothing wrong, by the way, with digging a pit or removing brush, except when your purpose is to harm someone else. That's the idea here. You reap what you sow. As you try to lay the groundwork to damage or hurt somebody's testimony, you reap what you sow. Of course, you know the story from 1 Kings with King Ahab and Naboth's vineyard. and all that took place there. You talk about following through the reaping and sowing. So we need to be very careful. Some Christians are sometimes the most jealous people that we might know. They're covetous and they're not satisfied. And many times that creates a bitter spirit. I just spoke on this a little bit at chapel recently. And I listed a few things that lead to a bitter spirit. They are a broken promise. Many times a broken promise can break a relationship and cause bitterness. And I read an example of a pastor doing a Bible study at a local jail. And there were a lot of young men, 19 to 20-somethings, in that Bible study that were there in the jail. And he asked the jailer why they were here. And he said primarily because the father never followed through with his promises to them. Broken promise from a dad. And finally they just gave up and did something crazy. So, bitter spirit. Secondly, breaking of a confidence. You share your heart and confidence with someone, and then you read about it in an email or on Facebook. That can break a relationship. So a breaking of a confidence can lead to bitterness. Thirdly, personal rejection. Could be verbal, could be emotional, physical. Personal rejection obviously can eventually lead to bitterness. False accusation, being accused falsely, can definitely lead someone to bitterness and have a bitter spirit. And then finally, abuse, physical or verbal, can cause someone to have a bitter spirit. Rand Hummel shared a little bit of his testimony, how he had to work through bitterness from growing up in a family with a very difficult father, an alcoholic, how that caused a bitter spirit. So we need to understand that. We also need to understand that sometimes some of those things don't affect us, but we have a desire to want to be number one. That's kind of, we're born with that. And sometimes when someone else in our group, in our church, succeeds, whatever, are we genuinely happy for their success? You know, it's always nice, oh, that's nice. But are we genuinely happy for others' success? So a bitter spirit can definitely be one of those flies in the ointment that can cause us to have a bad testimony. Fifthly, a lack of spirituality. Verse 10 says, if the iron be blunt and he do not whet the edge, then must he put to more strength, but wisdom is profitable to direct. You must be sharp spiritually. We are commanded to grow in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 3:18 tells us, grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. We are to be growing and being sharp spiritually. Are we growing in the Lord? Or are we dull? I might say stale. That leftovers are getting a little dull, aren't they, from Thanksgiving. We have a policy after two or three times, they're history, they're out of here. Because they're great the next day. And the next day, they're okay. And the next day, okay. Today was that day, okay. So we need to make sure that we're sharp and that spiritually we're growing and we're not becoming, or the Lord's not becoming dull or stale in our life. And that instead, we are a sweet-smelling aroma to God and to others. So lack of spirituality can definitely be one of those flies in the ointment. Six, evil speaking. Verse 11. Surely the serpent will bite without enchantment, and a babbler is no better. There are more sins associated with our speech than any other function listed in the Bible. Lying, blasphemy, cursing, boasting, gossip, backbiting, slander, etc. We know there's plenty that's said, especially in the New Testament. James, if any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man. A liar is at least carnal and maybe not even saved, at all. Perfect here, of course, in James means mature, full, moral and spiritual growth. We need to be very careful that we control our speech. Have you ever been lied to by a Christian? Have you ever heard a Christian curse or swear? Have you ever been the topic of gossip or slander? We need to be careful about our speech. You know, there are some pastors that don't allow their ladies to get together for sewing circles or craft nights because many times those are not so much times of fellowship, but they're times of gossip and complaining. How do we affect your opinion in the area of speech? Is it a fly in the ointment? Evil speaking. We need to be very careful about this because it's very powerful. Especially in our media day, our speech can fly through the network and to Never Never Land and back very quickly. And then number 7, finally, slothfulness. Verse 18. By much slothfulness, the building decayeth, and through idleness of the hands, the house droppeth through. When I think, read that, droppeth through, I kind of think of the sap house down here. It's about to drop through. But slothfulness. Laziness is a sin that ruins many Christians. King David's a tragic example of that. Man after God's own heart, but yet his testimony was ruined in 2 Samuel 11. Instead of being in battle where he's supposed to be, he tarried and stayed back. An idle mind is the devil's workshop. Slothfulness will make your testimony offensive. And we need to be very careful about that. So in all these areas that we've covered, these what we call flies in the ointment, there's some advice on this pest control on flies. To avoid flies, we need to avoid temptation. To remove the flies, we need to repent and confess. 1 John 1:9 is in the Bible for us. It's there for Christians. Screening ourselves from flies, keeping our testimony covered and protected, being faithful in the Word of God and in our devotions and in our prayer life, having a sensitive spirit before God, that our conscience is alive and well and aware of areas that need to be dealt with. And then you might say there's a fly spray, an insect repellent might be to saturate ourselves in the Word of God. If we can do that, as Psalm says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee," then we can be a sacrifice to God. We can be a sweet-smelling savor. We can be well-pleasing to our Lord. Let's close in a word of prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. This has been an unusual chapter as we've had to pick apart verses and make application. But simply put, we do understand the effect that sin can have in a life. We want ours to be one that attracts people to our Lord. We want our life to be one that is constantly growing and drawing closer to you each day. And Lord, we want our life to be a sweet-smelling savor, an aroma that is effective in our walk with Thee. Lord, we realize there are things in our life that aren't supposed to be there, but they've been there for a long time, and we just get comfortable with them. Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit would help convict and point out things that are wrong. Maybe they're in the area of our walk. Lord, maybe they're in the area of how we treat others. Maybe they're in the area of our speech. But Lord, you know those sins, and you are bringing them to our own heart and mind. Help us to be willing to apply 1 John 1:9 and confess them and ask your forgiveness and settle them. And Lord, we pray that you would help us to want to be faithful in our walk with Thee and drawing people to our Lord. Help us to saturate ourselves in the Word of God. Help it to be very special. And Lord, help us to long for Your Word each day as we spend time, as we are able to grow in Thee. We thank You for this time. We pray that You give us safety as we travel home this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You're dismissed.